Matthew chapter 27, verse 55. And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. And this morning we're going to talk about the ladies, the faithful ladies, rubies around the cross is who we're going to talk about this morning. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, thank you for this time. God, I thank you for the safety that you give us on the way here this morning. Thank you just for that. Thank you for the safety you give the folks driving in. And God, I pray that you'd help us this morning as we look into your word. And Lord, it's amazing the amount of things that are done in a church and an assembly because of our faithful ladies. And thank you so much for them and just for their faithfulness to you. And God, I pray that we would, just as we look at your word this morning, that we would take some lessons. God, guide my words, guide my thoughts, and help me to glorify you and in everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting, as we look at this, the picture of the cross, if you would, there is not a lot of, and this, men, this is kind of to our shame, if you would, there is not very men that are actually mentioned at the cross, as far as by name. We know that John was there because Jesus very specifically gave the duties of a son to him in the care of his mother Mary. So we do know that John was there, and I'm not saying that there wasn't other disciples there. I believe that there were. But it is interesting that they weren't really called out by name. But there were ladies there that were very specifically mentioned by name. And, you know, I think some of the most faithful followers of Jesus Christ during that time in his life were the ladies. Because, I mean, they were there. The Bible very clearly states that they were there. If you would, let's go to Proverbs chapter 31. And obviously this is a proverb that we kind of refer to when we're talking about the virtuous woman. And in Proverbs chapter 31, the Bible gives a valuation of her. Look at verse number 10, if you would. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. The Bible says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies." And you know, obviously a ruby is a valuable gem. And the Bible says that a virtuous woman, a woman that has virtue, and then there is very much a list here given of the virtues of a virtuous woman. But the value of her is far more than a ruby. Let's read down through these, and I think this gives us a very good description. Verse 11, "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maiden. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Pastor told us not too long ago about, or I think it was this past Wednesday, he was talking about the deacons and going to 1 Timothy and Titus. And we start looking at the qualifications of a deacon and how as a parent, And I really believe this. As a parent, I don't know that God's going to call my son into the ministry. But as a parent, I don't want my son to be in any way disqualified from going into the ministry. And I think those passages give us very much a goal as far as, okay, let's produce a sober-minded young man. Let's produce, you know, and go through the checklist. Well, I think for a young lady, the Proverbs 31 is a good, you know, if I can produce a young lady that when she's 17, 18, has these character traits, that is a very worthy goal to set before a young lady. And a lot of that starts when they're younger. And it's a training process. And we're going to see this because it's not, yes, it's training the young ladies. But ladies, it's, you know, the poet, and I'll probably butcher this, but the poet said, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And that is a very true statement, I believe. Some of the evil that is in our world today, I believe, is because, you know, in some young person's life, a mother didn't really do due diligence in raising their child and allowed them to be exposed to things or allowed whatever or didn't show the right amount of love. Why? And it caused a terrible effect on that child. But you go to the other side of that spectrum, and behind every great man, yes, you know, obviously we were all born, okay? But really, behind every great man, there was a mother that brought him up in a certain way and trained him and gave to him those basis, that basis of life. And the Bible likens the virtuous woman to a ruby, a thing of great value. It's rare. A faithful, godly, virtuous woman should be valued far above rubies. At the cross, sadly, we witness many of the followers, the male followers of Jesus Christ, forsaking him. But we still have these ladies here that the Bible records. And I think it's interesting. We're going to talk about a few ladies around the cross this morning, and I think it'll be interesting for you. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. We were there earlier. Matthew chapter 27, but we're going to back up just a little bit. And in Matthew chapter 27, verse number 16, we see the first lady that we have here that was presented with Jesus in relation to Jesus, verse 16, Matthew 27, verse 16, the Bible says, "And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." And we see here first Pilate's wife. We don't have given here a name for Pilate's wife. A lot of people believe her name was Claudia, just from history. But this lady was concerned about Jesus, okay? And she had in her spirit, there was a conviction there that this man is a just man. She says that. This man is a just man. He's done nothing wrong, okay? And I believe that Pilate, in some ways, was very much listened to his wife. I believe that Pilate's wife was a source of wise counsel. And Pastor Robert Ross said, I remember him saying this, he said, the man is the head of the house, but the wife is the neck that turns the head. Right. And, you know, it's one of those things that, ladies, the amount of influence that you have on the decisions of your husband, you don't have to rule the house, okay? But presented in the correct way and in the proper way, there's a great value in the things that our wives, the counsel that our wives give us. Amen. They have a, you know, guys are very, we are very much factually, like, we don't really see a whole lot of, I mean, we're kind of tunnel visioned, I guess. At least I am. I have a one-track mind. Sometimes it gets derailed, but it's typically a one-track mind. And once I decide this is what I want to do, kind of reason and some of the other things kind of go out. And my wife has a unique, but honey. And I'm like, oh boy. She's probably, because when she says that, she's probably right. As little as I like to admit it, she's probably right. And if I'm not careful, my pride just says, no, this is what I got to do. This is a decision we got to make. But there is a value in the counsel. And in the counsel that this lady gave to Pilate, I believe she had a spiritual sensitivity. She hadn't even questioned Jesus. She wasn't the one that questioned Jesus, okay? And like I said, ladies, you have a unique ability to, God's given that to you. That's a blessing to be able to have a different perspective on it than us guys do. She had a spiritual sensitivity. She had courage to send her husband good advice. She didn't have to say anything. It was a dream. It was that personal thing. But she had the courage to approach her husband. Secondly, so we have Pilate's wife, and she was a source of wise counsel. Secondly, let's go to Luke, if you will. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. We're going to look at another group of ladies. And it's interesting, as I was studying these ladies, how many of them do not have their names recorded in the Bible. If you would think about it, you can go through the Bible and most ladies in the Bible that are mentioned, their names are not mentioned. But something that they produced is always mentioned. Okay? So many times a son is mentioned. Well, we don't know their mother's name. Okay? Many times. But what he did is a reflection. You know, Proverbs says, about shaming your mother, okay? And it is important that we respect and that we honor our mothers. The women on the way to the cross, Luke chapter 23, let's look at verse number 26. There is a group of women presented here, a nameless group. But verse 26, the Bible says, and as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And we see this group of ladies that showed compassion. And I am thankful for the compassion that you ladies have. Because guys are very much not, if your kid gets hurt, typically they don't run to dad, right? Yeah. They run to mom. Why? Why? Because dads really do not have that motherly, maternal compassion that a mother has. There's just something about going to your mother when you're hurt, okay? And that's just, it's a maternal, and sadly, the Bible talks about in the last days, we are losing that natural affection. Yes, sir. All right? We are losing that natural affection. Mothers don't care anymore for their children. They just see them as a hindrance to their plans, their ambitions, their goals. But God gave every one of us a mother. And I am so thankful that God has given me a wonderful mother, but a source of sympathy. You know, my kids get hurt, and this always works. And, dog me for this or whatever, but, I can cure my kids of most things that they're hurt with. They smash their finger in a door or something, and so who do they go to? Mother, right? And of course, I'm trying to be compassionate, and I say, what's wrong? And he smashed your finger in the door. So first thing I do, I pull out my knife and be like, all right, give it to me. We're going to cut it off. All right? And you would be amazed. They're fine. It cures it. They have forgotten completely about smashing their finger in the door, okay? They bust their knee or their shin, same thing. I'm going to cut your leg off, all right? Now, I'm not going to do that, okay? But for them, it's a magical curing, you know, it's like dad fixed it all. Now you know why they go to mother instead of dad, okay? But, you know, the mother has that sympathy. The mother has that. And, you know, these ladies, as Jesus was going to the cross, you know, you think about the visual, what they are seeing walking down this road. You know, I can't help but think of all the different ladies that Jesus had touched and had healed, or their children had been healed by Jesus, and they're seeing this man go to the cross, okay? And they showed this compassion. They showed a source. It was a source of sympathy. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that mothers and ladies have that ability, because quite honestly, I don't have that ability. And I'm thankful for that. We have Mary. Let's look at Mary. The mother of Jesus is at the base of the cross. John chapter 19. Let's go there. John chapter number 19. John chapter number 19. And I want you to think about this. I can't say, because I've never been in these shoes, but for a parent to lose a child before, you know, in our thinking, the order of life is the parents always pass on before the children. And so for a parent to lose a child is a hard thing. But not just that, this is a different situation, all right? Because, you know, the Bible talks about Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary knew that Jesus was the Son of God, okay? Mary had experienced all that. And then to watch her son not just die, but to watch her son go through the process of this death. You know, okay, and as a mother, you put yourself there and you're watching this. And I don't know that words can honestly do justice to what is going on in Mary's heart at this moment. But in John chapter 19, let's look at verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, this is John, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Mary still felt responsible for her grown son. Jesus felt responsible to see that his mother was cared for. There is no off switch to the mother thing. All right? There is none. I think if there is, that's an unnatural thing. As a, you know, even when your mother, you know, I do something, I hurt myself, and my wife tells me, you just need to, you know, man up, take it like a man, you know, that type thing. And my mom is like, are you going to be okay? You know, and the whole mother, yes, mom, I smashed my thumb, I'm fine. You know, I'll go to my wife and complain about it. She's like, you're fine. She shows sympathy to the children, but she shows me, like, not. But my mom, you should put it on ice. You should go to the doc. I'm like, mom, it's fine. But you know, there is that mother thing, okay? There is still that, even as a grown adult. And I think, you know, you think about, this is Mary, the mother of Jesus. And all that she has gone through raising Jesus. But there's still that mother that her heart yearns for her son that's hanging on that cross. You know, when was the last time she hugged him? Think about that. She couldn't. You know, I don't know. Maybe she was able to reach out and touch him as he went by, but, you know, she pulls her hand back and it's covered in blood, okay, of her son that's dying on the cross, okay? So, you know, think about where she's at, what she is going through. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22, the Bible says, Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. And folks, it is our responsibility to care for our mothers. You know, it's not the nursing, you know, and I understand there are extenuating circumstances when you just can't give them certain care, but it is our responsibility to care for our mothers, to care for our fathers, but especially, very specifically, the Bible talks about widows, and it is the responsibility of children to care for their elderly, female, especially, relatives. And that is an important thing. Jesus very much set the example of making sure that his mother was taken care of. Fourthly, so we've got Pilate's wife. We've got the ladies that followed Jesus and lamented. We have Mary, the mother of Jesus, at the base of the cross. We've got the women. Fourthly, the women who sought to care for the body of Jesus. Luke chapter 23, we'll read verse 50. And the Bible says, "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after and beheld the sepulcher, how his body was laid. And they returned and prayed and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments." There's two great character traits, I believe, that are presented by these ladies that anointed and prepared Jesus' body for burial. One is they could not abide a job that was not finished and finished right. They made sure that this wasn't, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, that wasn't the last thing for them. They wanted to make sure that Jesus, in honor and respect, that Jesus was buried and he was properly prepared for that. God has created ladies to be great at getting detailed jobs done and done right. Thank the Lord for that. I'm not an organized, you know, I'm glad I married somebody that can do the organization part, because I'm not, okay? I'm very much the bachelor pad kind of guy. Like, you know, I would build a pole barn and live in it and be good. But you know what? I'm glad my wife has a house. And it's not a house, it's a home. And there's a big difference in just living in a house and having a home. And I'm thankful that my wife, and ladies all over this church, not much my wife, you don't just have a house, you have a home. You have a home where there is peace. You have a home that, you know, I couldn't imagine not wanting to come home at night because of chaos and because of just chaos, okay? Whether it be with the kids or with things strewn everywhere, you know, the ladies have a way to do that, all right, that most guys don't. They were willing to do the hard and unpleasant jobs. God's created, you know, this wasn't a pleasant thing. They're preparing a dead body for burial. It's not, not just any dead body, a mutilated dead body for burial, okay? This was an unpleasant thing. It's okay for your daughters, for ladies to do, you know, it's okay for them to learn to do unpleasant things, all right? I get it. It's okay to be scared of snakes, all right? But you ought to be okay to kill them too, all right? It's okay to be scared of blood, but you know what? Get past it and go on. You realize how, you know, I think God prepares ladies to just deal with, okay, I can do a lot of, and, you know, I can't say it's not like I've not done it, all right? I can work when in high school or when I was growing up, you know, I worked for Brother Tom, and we had, you know, you'd sit down and eat your lunch in the turkey barn, and we was doing, you know, I worked with a hog farms, and you'd sit down and, I mean, honestly, and I, you know, okay, sorry, hygienist, but, you know, we'd be out knifing in hog manure, and literally you're pretty much, it's all over you in some way or form, okay? And you pick up peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and you're just eating it. You know, no big deal. Hey, it builds your immunity, okay? That's great, but then it's like, you know, you get to, you know, then your kids throw up. And it's like, ugh. Hey, honey, we have an issue, right? And you know, I don't know what it is. It's like it's like God created them. Don't you feel special, ladies? God created you for this special task in life. You know, the diaper explosions, you know, okay, I'm okay changing diapers, but then there's just the diaper, okay? And it's like, you know, it's a good thing they were wearing other clothes, because it would be everywhere, all right? And dads are just like, you know, you can deal with everything else. And then they're just like, I got to go wash my hands, you know. And I don't know what it is, but God has created ladies to be able to deal with that. And I don't know, I can't explain it, all right? Maybe it's that maternal instinct, or maybe you're just as grossed out about it as we are. You just know that somebody's got to do it and your husband's not going to do it. So I don't know. I don't know which one it is, but I'm grateful that ladies are able to do that. Many of the things here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church are done behind the scenes by ladies. Many, probably a majority, quite honestly, are done by faithful ladies at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The cleaning here, and thank you ladies that do the cleaning, and all the different things that most of the time we don't even think about, that ladies do on a regular basis here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And honestly, ladies, you're never given a thank you. You're never given, because it is an unseen thing. The Bible talks about the virtuous woman's husband. He sitteth where? In the gates. He couldn't sit in the gates. Okay, that's a position of leadership. He couldn't sit in the gates if he had to worry about if everything was taken care of at home. The Bible talks about her husband praiseth her. Her children rise up and call her blessed. And ladies, I just want to say a big thank you. Thank you for being that silent workforce at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm always coming in here and I'm finding something. It's like, wow, that guy, I wonder who did that. Well, you know, typically if I don't know who did it, it was a lady that did it. And I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for doing that. I want to say thank you for putting up with, you know, us as men and our piggish habits at some times. All right? Thank you. Because I think I know that without you, those things wouldn't be accomplished. We've got ladies right now, you know, they're working in the nursery, they're teaching Sunday school classes, you know, they are forming the next generation. And mothers, you form that next generation. If you would, let's go to Mark. I want to show you one lady that is mentioned at the cross, but she's only mentioned by name one time. Let's go to Mark chapter number 15. Mark chapter number 15. We're given here another list. I'm actually going to mention two ladies here. One of them I'm going to defend just slightly, and then the other one we're going to talk about. Mark chapter 15, verse number 40, the Bible says, there were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, if you remember, is the one that had the seven devils cast out of her, okay? I'm just going to say this because I looked up all these ladies that had names for, and I did some research on them. Mary Magdalene, and most of it is Hollywood, is given very much a bad rap. As far as a lot of people cast a bad light on her as being basically a prostitute, okay? That actually came from the Roman Catholic Church, is where that actually came from. They had a house that is basically a rescue mission. The House of Magdala, all right, is what they called it. And it was named after Mary Magdalene, okay? Well, then that cast a shadow on Mary Magdalene, okay? And there is no evidence in the Bible that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. The Bible says she was possessed of seven devils. She probably, most people I read, she probably had some kind of mental instability, almost an insanity type thing. And that is very much a legitimate, I think that is something ladies, honestly, that's something ladies struggle more with. But Jesus cured her of that, and Jesus was, and Mary Magdalene was very grateful for that. And everywhere you see women mentioned, Mary Magdalene is very much included with those ladies. So that one, I was just going to throw that out there, because you watch enough TV and you watch enough stuff on the internet, you're going to come across this, and they're going to shed a bad light on her, and there is no reason for that. Anyway, that was just a whole other defense thing of Mary. All right, so Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph. So we saw her earlier. Different Mary, there's like several Marys, all right? Mary, the mother of James the Less and of Joseph. James the Less was one of the apostles, okay? James the Less was one of the apostles. And Salome. Salome is the mother of the sons of Zebedee, okay? So James and John, the sons of Zebedee. That is who Salome is, all right? So Salome is the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. I want you to think about this, because there was something unique about this lady that raised two sons, and as soon as Jesus came to them and said, follow me, they left their family fishing business and followed Jesus. That doesn't just happen by circumstance, okay? This lady, I believe that this lady was very much, I believe she had trained her children in expectation of the day that Jesus was going to come, okay? And I believe Zebedee was involved in that too. Okay, you don't see anywhere in the Bible that Zebedee fought at all when two of his grown sons left the family business and followed Jesus. You don't see that. I believe that Salome and Zebedee, and a lot of this, you say, Brother Chad, where'd you get? Okay, you got to read the Bible all in context, okay? She's mentioned in the other places, but not by name. She's mentioned by name here. And the mother, you know what? I believe that this mother trained in her children that willingness, but she didn't just train in it. She didn't just speak it. She lived it. Where was she at that last day? She was standing there too. I don't know where Zebedee was. Maybe Zebedee had passed away. Maybe I don't know where Zebedee was. But she was there and her son was there. She was, and I don't know, maybe all the apostles were there. I have no idea. But two of her sons, and then you look at what she asked of Jesus. Remember what she asked Jesus? Lord, would you grant that my sons, one can sit on your right hand and one can sit on your left hand? What did she want as a mother? She wanted the very, people knock her for, well, she shouldn't have. She wanted the best for her children. Lord, would you allow one of my sons to sit here and the other one to sit here? All right? And I just want to point that out because I believe that this lady, there again, an unknown woman in the Bible by far. We don't know much about her. But we do know that there was something that she instilled in her children that caused them to want to go to Jesus Christ. And let me ask you, what are we instilling into our children? Are we instilling this, well, there's the ministry life, there's life, and then there's the ministry life, okay? Or are we putting the ministry life, and then there's, I know God's going to call different people to different things, but like I said at the beginning, wouldn't it be great if we trained all of our children to be the very, very best that God could pick from any of our children? My children, your children, and say, I want you for a special purpose, okay? But so many times I feel like I do not do justice to my children in training them. I tell our young people, do all you can to learn all you can to be all you can. I tell them that all the time. Do all you can to learn all you can to be all you can. Well, I'll never use that. Never say never, right? You know how many times that you will use something that was given to you, and if you pass up an opportunity, all right? I love it, the fact that parents, you give your children opportunity. Give them an opportunity to learn how to play musical instruments. Give them an opportunity to learn to be with other adults in the church that can mentor them, that can help them, that can train them. Because you know what? You don't know what God's going to have your children do. That same proverb, Proverbs chapter 31, I can't tell you the verse off the top of my head, but the same proverb talks about the virtuous woman, his mother. It was written by his mother, all right, to King Lemuel. Bible says, verse number 3, the Bible says, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. What, you know what his mother had prepared him for? To be a king. To be a king. Listen, let's prepare our children to be a king. No. Why prepare them for anything less than the best? Okay? Why not spend the extra time instead of, you know, on our phones looking at whatever? Okay? And invest in our children, because they are, listen, folks, they are the next generation of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. They are where this church is going. How we train them today is where this church is going. Okay? And that's a legacy that lives beyond us. But I'm so thankful for mothers and godly wives that invest and give and sacrifice. Why? Yeah, you may not have your name put on a board. You may not be in charge of anything. But if all of us men were honest about it, in the back of our minds, we know that it wouldn't be possible without you. And there's these ladies at the cross that without these ladies, would there have been a James and John, the sons of Zebedee? Would there have been that? Would there have been the Peter and all of these other men that we know their names of? There probably never would have been, at least they wouldn't have been there, without a godly mother that shaped them, that helped mold where they were at. Thank you, ladies. Thank you for your sacrifices. Thank you for your hard work. And like I said, I know many things are done and nobody ever sees them. All right? But thank you. Thank you for being faithful. And guys, let's not let the ladies outdo us. As far as we should have been, you know, there should have been a whole host of guys standing there at the cross too. And ladies sometimes are more faithful in hard times than the guys are. That shouldn't be so. Let's take some lessons from the ladies around the cross. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for these ladies that are mentioned, rubies around the cross. And Lord, how they've shaped what we know about the Bible, how they shaped the men that became the leaders of following you. And Lord, thank you for the ladies that are willing to do the hard things, ladies that are willing to do the things that are unseen, ladies that are willing just to stay faithful even in hard times. God, thank you for them. Thank you for their testimony. God, I pray that we would just take this. Help us to be thankful for our mothers. Help us to be thankful for our wives. Help me to be more thankful for the ladies that you've put into my life that have impacted me and have affected me in a tremendous way. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.